Welcome Tom Pryor and Peter Rabenne to this very special edition of the Picture House podcast. We are here to discuss your beautiful and extremely moving film Firebird, being shown as a special one-off screening for International Day Against Homophobia, Transphobia and Biophobia in picture houses on Tuesday, May the 17th. Peter, can you tell me just how important it is we celebrate this day this year in the countries where we can, and what it means to you to have your film Firebird as part of the day's events?
I think it's a really important day because we've made so much progress in the West, especially, let's say, the UK and US, but there are still so many countries around the world where being truly who you are, loving the person whom you truly love, is either criminal or highly discriminated. And I think that's one of the main themes of our film, Firebird, about really following your heart in the hardest of circumstances during the Cold War in the Soviet-occupied Estonia.
And having your film as part of this day, how does that feel for you? What does that mean for you?
It's humbling and also really grateful that so many cinemas are showing the film and really commemorating this day, because when we set out, we really made this film about love, not politics, but in the current situation of what's going on with the aggression of Russia again in the world, I think it's more relevant than ever.
And Tom, would you like to share your thoughts on this extremely important day that your film is going to be a part of?
Yeah, I was really honoured to have actually Firebird being shown in so many big and small cinemas actually across the country and also internationally. And, you know, being able to be a example of a film at a time like this, really, to, again, as Peter said very well, like it's a film which is really about love, and love is love, really is the message, like through and through of the film. And I think that the film shows really great examples of courage, particularly in some of like the darkest times that there has been in the more recent history, about sharing a love like that between two types of people. And so I think that the overall message really which comes from the film is this consistency to love a bit harder and to give a little bit more understanding to people like around the world. And I really trust actually that it's a really great film for doing that very strong message, which is that, like, really this is a time now of progression where everything just needs to be allowed to be as it is, as opposed to being forced to be a way that people believe it's supposed to be.
Completely. And I thought that it was so simple and uncomplicated how you did that. That's not to say that the themes aren't complex and politics and what it is when you suppress these things, but the actual love that you show is very direct and very simple. And I'd like to commend you both on that, just from a personal point of view. Thank you. Also, your film star, your film co-star, sorry, Oleg Zagorodny, he is actually in Kiev. And I know that you're both very concerned for his welfare, as anyone who sees this film will be. And as well, have you heard from him? Does he know the screenings are happening?
Yeah, we're in like very regular communication with him. And it's been, you know, when we first found out, it's been very difficult to know of him being there. And there were many attempts actually which he made to join up and actually join the military there. But it's simply the case that actually so many volunteers and not enough arms and not enough training. But he's sort of done his own effort. And we've been in very regular contact with him. And actually, the thing that's really amazing is that through the efforts of our team, and also, like, you know, reaching out to many, many people, we actually invited the founder of the Human Rights Foundation actually to our Los Angeles premiere, and he managed to overnight pretty much change the circumstance and actually get Oleg permission to leave the country and to join in with the efforts that we're making really with this film. Because, you know, if he can't, you know, go and stand in the lines and actually really be at the forefront, then, you know, you said this is its own kind of work right now, really, for sharing the story and sharing like this type of a love. And so, yeah, he actually, I'm really grateful to say, will actually be joining us in Berlin in the next few days for our German premiere, which is, you know, incredible.
That's such great news. So Peter, take me back to the beginning and tell me about reading, I hope I get this name right, Sergei Fetisov's book, The Story of Roman, for the first time, and what it ignited in you.
Oh yeah, that was over 10 years ago when a friend was approached at the Berlinale Film Festival with the original autobiography, and she brought it to me, and I read it over a week, and then it was just such a heart-touching human story. I mean, simple and tragic and beautiful at the same time, and literally made me cry and wonder, how can I turn this into a film? And I'd never really written anything, so I started to write and to learn to write. And when I thought that my masterpiece is ready, then I was introduced to Tom by a mutual friend, a film producer from Los Angeles, with the intention of Tom playing the lead part. And then we shot a couple of scenes as a proof of concept, and then Tom started to make some suggestions about the script.
So Tom, can you tell me about your experience with the story and what did you feel was unique about it?
Well, I was originally approached to play the lead in the film, and at that point certainly was not, you know, ever kind of really considering that I would end up, like, you know, co-writing it or co-producing it. But yeah, Peter graciously took some of the feedback which I gave actually during that time, which led to a very, very wonderful writing collaboration. And during the 2.5 years, actually, which we wrote together, we went to Russia actually to meet Sergei Fetisov and get to know him. And, you know, that was kind of invaluable to the whole film creation process. And we were just so, so grateful for that and to be able to meet him. Because it informed a great many questions that we had really about the script, and really there was the several moments in the original story which almost feel like fantastical. We wanted to know, like, did this happen and how did it happen, and he was amazingly generous with all of his opinions, and also, like, it was kind of incredible because he didn't actually have any stipulation really about how we had to make the film or we had to represent anybody in a certain way, other than his main intention, really, which was to make the film about love and not about politics, which we absolutely kept to through and through while making the film.
It must have been so lovely to meet him because, I mean, he never actually saw the completed film, did he, unfortunately? Yeah. What a shame. But for him to know that it was even being made would have been wonderful for him. But also to meet the sort of finished man, if you know, he's lived his life and lived it true to himself, and to see what that meant to him. How was that for you, Peter?
It was pretty surreal. It's a privilege, I think, as a writer and as a director to really meet the person that you are, whose life you're bringing to screen. And as Tom mentioned, when I also read the original story, I was almost doubting whether all of this was possible or whether it was a fantasy. Having myself grown up when I was still a very young boy under the Soviet occupation, and having been spending my summers next to that Air Force base, I could never have imagined that this kind of a love story could have ever happened there. But then we start to speak to other men who served in the Soviet military in the 70s and discovered other stories of similar nature, and realized that love is love, and this happened, that people fell in love even in the Soviet army during the Cold War. So it was really great to get details from him about even little details like what music would they listen to or what food would they eat, which really informed a lot of our, I think, writing and definitely my directing choices.
Yes, it's so easy to assume that under oppression, everything is suppressed, isn't it? And yes, and then you can dig a bit and people still have parties. I mean, even in Iran, you know, when you think, oh my gosh, that's a regime, you know, there's still teenagers listening to Nirvana and, you know, smoking cigarettes and, you know, snogging. And it's an extraordinary celebration of the human spirit, isn't it? Even under whatever regime there is imposed, that we can still find something in ourselves. But of course, so many people don't and can't, you know. And I think, Tom, for you, like in the synopsis that I read, the way your partnership worked is that, Tom, you look for the truth in the spirit, and Peter, you're the analytical one who creates the scene in which Tom can be free to do that. Is that right? So when I look at the specifics of the film, I felt that the detail in everything, from the uniforms to the colours to the how people might have spoken, and then Tom could be free to express in a way that was so nuanced and specific for the time. Would I be right in saying that that's kind of how it worked? Or completely wrong?
No, I think you're right in terms of probably at a writing level, yes. But in terms of, like, I mean, I'm pretty relentless when it comes to attention to detail. And you know, also being in or putting on the producer hat at a number of points as well, I was like, okay, like, no way, this is not flying. And whether that's actually as the writer being informed enough to be able to comment on that, or whether it's, you know, from a producing point of view. Yeah, I mean, we both at least had like sort of one sort of mantra really in this, which was just like, there's no compromises when it comes to like attention to detail and accuracy. And that really kind of goes the same really for emotional truth. That's something that I'm tirelessly looking for, actually, as an actor, and also as what's the most truthful way of doing something. It may not be the most predictable way of, like, for example, responding to the love of your life, who's, you know, passing happens and you hear by phone. But I'm fascinated to kind of go after the truth every time as an actor. But I think, yeah, our writing collaboration was amazingly, we covered each other's blind spots very well, I think, in terms of, truth in dialogues and then sort of like emotional connection. But also what was very tricky actually to write was dialogue between Sergei and Roman at a time where the words don't exist for such a relationship. So yeah, I think that we covered each other's bases quite well.
I would say so, and because I could definitely feel how painstaking it would have been to create the scene and then to place Tom and Roman within that scene, so you can see what it is that how men trying to love one another had to exist in their work. They had to inhabit an internal world, and to see that played out on the screen like you did, with a very simple script and very nuanced performances, I thought was extremely artful. And also Oleg was superb as Roman. So Peter, can you tell me about finding and casting Oleg?
Absolutely. When we'd made and written the script, we were debating for a long time whether to shoot it in English or in Russian. And once we made the decision to shoot in English and made the decision to shoot it with a slight accent rather than RP English, which would have felt too much like a fake costume drama, then we opened up the casting really to any actor in the world. And we received 2,500 self-tapes for the main roles of Roman, Luisa, Volodya and the Air Force Base commander, and really met a lot of amazing actors here in London, from Berlin, from Moscow, but nobody who was embodying the characters of the characteristics of Roman. So finally, after several months, we were getting already a little bit desperate that where is our Roman? Oleg walked into the room, and it was pretty clear, I think, from the first 15, 20 seconds that this is our Roman, except one little detail that he spoke almost no English at the time.
Wow, he did an amazing job then. So, how did he learn English so beautifully, so quickly?
We actually engaged a really, really amazing dialect coach, Catherine Charlton, and she spent the whole summer with Oleg, with Tom, with our lead cast, really working to make sure that everybody would be in a similar language space and the world of the film would really sound right.
And then, of course, Luisa, who is played by Diana Pozhestskaya, is that right? So she is the kind of unwitting third person. And I thought her story was told with such compassion. Tom, can you tell us why it was so important to give her character that space within a love story between two men?
So we felt actually probably one of the most important parts actually to change from the original story was actually the representation of Luisa. And she's kind of portrayed as this slightly formidable character in the original story and somewhat to blame for the relations between Sergei and Roman not working out, and for the final result. And we didn't really feel that was fair, actually, in terms of like, we really, really wanted to give everybody as equal a voice without changing the fundamental story. And so it became kind of quite apparent to us that we really wanted, you know, there to be this sort of unsaid friendship, maybe something more between Sergei and Roman, between Sergei and Luisa at the beginning. And then, you know, having that kind of switch over. And so when obviously Sergei leaves the Air Force Base and then the news happens between Luisa and Roman, and really what a position that is like for Sergei then as well, and how to deal with that. It's you know, placing characters into an extraordinary circumstance in which they can't do anything about it, because you know it ends up being, you know, a death-like situation actually, if you know, if honesty is really revealed. And this happens now so many times through in the film that, you know, it enhanced the drama, but also it made it all the more real and realistic. And I think that, you know, her tragedy is arguably actually some of the biggest as well. By the end, she has, you know, a family, and actually, you know, how everything turns out means that she would have almost been untouchable actually as a woman, seen like contaminated goods. It was very important to us actually be able to give her that voice. And I think that Diana did an amazing job actually at being able to sort of hold that ground actually, whilst not, you know, we didn't want to change the fundamental story and rewrite her entirely and sort of put her front and center, but because that would have been disservice to the original story, but enough that, you know, she's able to give the perspective really very truly of how it was like sort of from her point of view.
I completely agree. Her energy was so heartbreaking because it was just so naive and so all encompassing. And and then eventually you see how pernicious that kind of oppression is, and how far reaching it is, because it's not just about suppressing, you know, people's love for one another. It's the honesty between everyone, you know. So, yeah. So we've talked about meeting the real Sergei, but Tom, I wondered, you know, you said he was so warm, and how, because he could have fallen into such despair, and I felt there was so much hope for Sergei that you played at the end, you know, when he was watching the ballet again. Oh, So I probably should cut that bit as a spoiler.
I've been trying to avoid any kind of giveaway.
But I want to talk about hope, basically, and warmth and love, you know, and how the film left me feeling, you know, which was a hopeful message in the end. What do you feel about that?
I was really pleasantly not surprised, but reassured actually when meeting Sergei in person that he was in such a way, you know, very at ease with who he was, still in a country which is certainly not at ease with anything like, you know, that type of way of being and freedom of expression. But he was so sunny and radiant in the way that he kind of presented himself to the world, and amazingly positive, having lived through some very, very difficult times. And, you know, we've said in previous interviews and stuff that, you know, he took us to a restaurant in a suburb of Moscow and would sort of openly flirt with a male waiter there. And we were like, whoa, okay. But it was in such a sort of tender way that you kind of understood that that was the way in which he had presented himself to the world for many years. And looking at the photos back with him, actually, from his time in the Soviet army, he had this persona even then. You could see from the photos that he was this sort of expressionate, warm, entertaining person, and even at that point wanted to be an actor. So that really informed my choices of actually how I wanted to play him in the film. It could have been quite easy to go into the world of shame and self-loathing and real struggle, which, you know, is a reality. It's not to say that it's not a reality for so many people, and particularly in that environment, but it was just a real joy to be able to allow that side and that character to come through, particularly after Roman unlocks Sergei by sort of meeting him for the first time, and it really spurs him on to follow his dreams and follow his heart. I'm really grateful that that was an instinct which I had, which was very much reassured when meeting him in person.
And for you, Peter, as well, that you swore to him this film would be about love, and that's quite a commitment to make to someone, isn't it? Was it him that inspired you to make that promise, is that I will make a film about love and hope for you?
That's a good question. I'm not actually sure, because I think when I first read the original story, it was really the love story that caught me as well. It was this really, really powerful yet simple story between two people, and I never really saw it as anything else at the time. And when we were editing the film, we had long conversations whether we even put the card at the end saying about the 2013 homosexual propaganda laws in Russia. And actually that felt like truthful, because it was important to tell the audience who might not otherwise know what happened after the film. It was definitely not an intention that it would become so politically relevant as it is today.
And finally, you're going to be working with a group called All Out. And can you tell us who they are and how can listeners get involved if they want to?
It's an amazing worldwide movement, really, to fight for love, to make sure that everyone around the world who has the freedom to love whoever they choose to love. And especially at the moment, why they caught our attention is that All Out is working with LGBTIQ Ukrainian refugees and helping them, which we thought is really amazing, because that's a community that's under double pressure. Once, you know, coming from a homophobic country like Ukraine, still sadly is, and then having the pressures of war on them as well. If anybody watching this feels like they would like to help LGBT community around the world, then we definitely recommend check out allout.org.
Thank you. And just finally, sorry, one last question. I'd like to ask you both how film has changed your lives. So, Tom, can I direct that to you first?
Wow. It's like I've always been a very creative person. I've got a very creative family. And for me, I think it's the, dare I say, art form medium, which I resonate probably with the most right now in my life. I love the fact that there's actually so many art forms coming together into one. There's so many elements of, you know, the costume design, the set design, the sound design, the music design, and you know, lighting design, and then you put in acting and everything else in there. So it's such an incredible amalgamation of different creative expressions coming together. And it's something which takes up huge amounts of my time in terms of, like, you know, dreaming up stories or being immersed in stories. And you know, when I first saw A Single Man, the film by Tom Ford, actually, it had such a strong impact on me that it was stylistically so strong, and, you know, from a narrative and also from a performance point of view, so strong in so many different ways that it really actually took me to go, like, okay, this is what kind of work I want to create, the kind of stories I want to tell, and sort of aesthetic actually as well, which I'd love to put into film. So that's just like a very little example of a whole world worth of film influence, which has been so important to me.
I was thinking, if I have to explain this film quickly to someone, it would be A Single Man meets The Lives of Others.
Oh, amazing. That's a compliment. that film was very influential actually for us, particularly when creating the unease and the kind of ever watching environment.
And Peter, for you, how has film changed your life?
Oh, this film has become my life, which is scary. For the last couple of years, I think most of all, it has really taught me to trust my feeling and not to, as Tom said before, not to compromise, but really to find a solution in every situation, and to stay true to really what I felt about the story and bring that to the screen and hope that people resonate with it. And it's been honestly a very hard journey. It's been very stressful and demanding at times, and it's been amazingly joyful at times. And it's kind of amazing to sit in a cinema, and like a few weeks ago when we had the UK premiere, we actually bought tickets and sneaked into a cinema, and it was so amazing to actually be there and see people laughing and hear people really kind of holding their breath in suspense over the New Year's scene, and then just see them sit there during the credits and take it all in and realize that, wow, we've actually managed to make a little impact on how people feel and relate to others.
Amazing. Thank you so much for joining me on the Picture House podcast today. It's been such a pleasure to speak with you both. Really good luck with going all around the world with this incredible film.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.